Buffalo Wild Wings is proud to announce our new half-price Wing Tuesdays. Now, instead of getting a discount on individual wings, you get any size of traditional wings at half the price. Order a small, it's half the price. Two larges, half the price. Try all 21 sauces and seasonings for half of what it would cost you any other day of the week. We could call it twice as good Wing Tuesdays, but we don't. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Valid for a limited time. Prices and participations vary. Restrictions apply. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Michelle with Variety Radio Online. And today I have with me a very exciting team that has put out a wonderful movie called Run Like Hell. I have James Thomas and Kenyon Prince. Welcome.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I kind of mentioned beforehand, what I'd like to do first, if you guys don't mind, talking about kind of what have led you to this point, and then we'll talk about the movie, and if you guys don't mind sharing a little bit about the production company, Two Guys in a Film.
Great. James, you want to tell the story?
Yeah, in 2012, Canyon and I started Two Guys in a Film with the intent to shoot these first two feature films that we did. And we had these crazy ideas that that maybe two guys with these two crazy guys with these ideas to shoot movies could actually get this thing done. And I think we literally went from script to location scouting in about a week. Is that right, Canyon?
Yeah, I think our meeting with the idea of the company was like December 17th, and by January 1st we had the first drafts of both scripts. And then I think January 2nd we headed out and started location scouting. So it happened really fast.
Yeah, and so, you know, we gathered everybody up that we knew, and we're like, hey, we have this crazy idea. We're going to go and shoot these awesome movies. Who's crazy enough to do this with us? And so we found a good group of people that were down to, you know, and passionate enough about indie film to go and help shoot these movies with us. And so then in the summer of 2012, we started production on our first two feature films, which was Hard Sun, drama directed by Canyon, and then Run Like Hell, which is our fun action horror film that I directed. That's kind of where things started and took off from.
No, thank you for sharing. I know that, you know, we want to support indie films, and I know everybody out there is really, I think, the movement has made some changes to indie film. Just, you know, the average person understanding that, you know, there's some great films out there. And it's kind of nice just to know kind of where you come from in the production company and where you guys, you know, are headed. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that that there is kind of a movement to support indie film right now, because it's such a hard market to find and land an audience that, you know, to see people really supporting it in all, you know, facets of filmmaking, audience and filmmakers and other crew members. It's just been super encouraging as filmmakers. So
yeah, and I tell you, listening to, I've been in this year, I have interviewed quite a few indie films, and it amazes me, and some of this will come out as I ask you a couple of questions, just what you guys put into it, heart and soul. I just think it changes what comes out in the end. I mean, I think it just changes the production of what you guys are putting into it. So,
yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
And
go ahead.
Sorry? Okay. I wasn't sure if either one of you were going to say something. Then I was kind of like, I thought I'd wait a second.
That's funny. That's awesome. Yeah.
So let's talk about Run Like Hell. Let me tell you. It definitely makes you want to run like hell. So do me a favor first as we talk about it. Let's talk a little. Can you give the listeners who may listen in on this kind of a synopsis of the film?
Sure. Yeah, it kind of centers around a group of four friends that take a road trip, and they end up stranded in the wrong town. There's kind of a family, a local family that offers some help, and we end up finding that the real motives of the family become obvious as the couples end up fighting for their lives.
Sums it up pretty good. Now, as we talk about the movie, can you tell me what was the production time? I know indie films a lot of times are on the short budget, so kind of what time frame did you guys get this one off?
We shot for 20 days, and then we had 3 pickup days. We shot mainly out in Palmdale, California, which for those of you who don't know Palmdale, it's basically just the desert. And so most of our days ended up being, like, you know, 125 degrees out there in the middle of August. And so those 20 days were pretty rough. And then when we ended up coming back in, I think it was November of 2012, to shoot the 3 pickup days, it was a completely indifferent environment. The weather had... It was complete opposite. It still looked super hot, but it was like, you know, 30 degrees out there. So it was, because, I mean, the desert gets either super hot or super cold, right? So it was,
yeah.
That was pretty interesting. We've got actors on camera, and it looks like it's, you know, 100 degrees out, but all of us are bundled up, you know, in Eskimo gear.
That is funny. Now, on set, I can say this without giving too much away. I mean, it's kind of the town's already there, or kind of the misfits of the movie are already out there. The sets, did you find this location to utilize, or did you guys bring a lot of those props into what we saw in the set, in the filming? Like the trailers and the bikes and the...
Yeah, it was interesting. I think Canyon knew the location manager that helped us find the house that ends up being Harold and Nancy's house. We used that on the first film we did, Hard Sun. And so we ended up, you know, using it again for Run Like Hell. And the people that owned the house owned this, like, you know, 5-acre ranch out in the middle of the desert, and when they found out that, you know, we were shooting a horror movie, they got all excited, and they're like, we have this awesome ranch, do you want to come see it? And we're like, yeah. So we ended up taking a trip out to check out this ranch, and they're like, if you guys want to shoot this movie here, you can do it. So we ended up kind of reworking some of the script to fit our locations, because, you know, we just had this great location presented to us. So it was like, what are we going to do? Are we going to be married to what's on the page, or are we going to, you know, work with our surroundings and kind of adapt? And so, you know, we've been big proponents of that anyway, because in indie film, you know, you work on such budget constraints that it's kind of difficult to, you know, really come up with what your creative vision is. So you have to be moldable and adaptable in it. So
yeah, you got to keep it loose and be open to, you know, what the environment throws at you, whether it's, you know, locations, or, I mean, we even had like plot points that changed just due to, you know, restrictions or things that came up. But I think ultimately at the end of it, that always, you know, brings about a better film at the end of the day.
Oh, I think the location fit the film perfectly. As I watched
it
I thought,
great,
like,
right?
It was, yeah.
How do you end up finding that? Who finds that? We were really lucky.
Yeah, no, big budget people can pull that off no problem, you know.
Yeah, we couldn't have built anything close to that on our budget, so.
Yeah, no, and it looked great. So now also, I read this probably in some of your PR stuff that was sent over to me, so I'm kind of going to throw it out there. You'll know what I'm talking about. The genre masters of horror flick, you guys mentioned you give some credit and nods to kind of that classic. What do you mean by that, and can you give a kind of an example of kind of that genre classic that you felt like you wanted to bring out?
Yeah, I mean, the film does kind of sometimes poke or shed light onto some of the ways that horror typically does things in a good way. Mm-hmm. And we kind of make homages to filmmakers that, you know, we've enjoyed as fans and as filmmakers. And, you know, there, it's all in the, you know, the shot choice, some of the dialogue lines. There's a scene towards the end that kind of gives a nice homage to a Rob Zombie film, Devil's Rejects. You know, and the whole premise and idea of the film itself kind of, you know, lends itself to that, because it comes off of these, you know, 70s style movies where it wasn't mostly about monsters, it was about people and these gritty, grindy films like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Hills Have Eyes, and so we just kind of here and there throw, you know, little nods to those, because, you know, we're fans of that. And
yeah, I mean, I guess it's, you know, like James said, it's definitely a nod to just the overall 70s horror, and, you know, Wes Craven and John Carpenter. Obviously, like you said, Rob Zombie and The Devil's Rejects was a big inspiration. But then, in addition to that, it's kind of like flipping some of those things on their head as well. You know, the idea that almost the entire film is set during the day, I think, is something that you normally don't see in horror films. You know, usually horror films take place at night because night is scary.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found is by setting the film in the daylight, it's actually more terrifying, because, you know, there's something about the daylight that gives you like a false sense of safety and security. But watching this movie, you realize all these awful things happen in the middle of the day.
No, you're right. I felt that the whole time. Like, it never got dark, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
No, well done. Now, kudos to that, too, because that is something harder to pull off. People can use the dark illusion to scare somebody, but you don't have to have that. So.
Yeah.
What obstacles did you face with Run Like Hell? I mean, obviously doing a horror movie, you want to have it realistic, and you have different things to kind of tackle to pull it off. So what were some of the obstacles with this movie?
Geez, where do I begin? We had a bunch of different challenges, because it is indie film. It's a lower budget movie. We ran into a lot of different constraints, whether they be creative, because we don't have the money to do it, or, you know, challenges like one of the harder days for me as a director actually was shooting the dinner table scene, because I have, you know, all these people sitting around a dinner table, and it's like, how do you pick up all that coverage and keep the scene flowing? And, you know, so that was pretty difficult for me as a director, but we ran into different constraints all the time. I mean, Canyon will tell you a fun story about his leg that ended up happening. And everything from blood effects not going right to, you know, gun effects not going right to, you know, extras not showing up for the day and having to rewrite a whole scene. These are just some of the many challenges that, you know, you face when you're on a lower budget and an indie film. So.
Yeah, and it's with any film, you never really with any film, even studio films, you never have enough money and you never have enough time. You know, we were chasing sunlight every day, you know, to get shots, and there were long hours, and like James had said, it was like 115 degrees or something out there in the middle of August, you know, but you just kind of keep going and make it happen. What he was talking about, I did all my stunts in the film, and there's one scene where I'm running after the Jeep, and on the last take, the tires kicked up a little bit too much dirt, and when I ran onto the asphalt, so I just ate it and ripped up the whole side of my leg. But we kept shooting, and you know, I'm a producer on the film as well, so I didn't want to go to the hospital because I knew that would stop the day. And so we just kept shooting. I just poured hydrogen peroxide on it, and 10 days later, it got really, really green. And so I finally went to the hospital, and they, you know, shot me with antibiotics. It had become infected just from, you know, having the open wound with all this desert air and stuff flowing into it. So my leg's fine now, but we had to actually work that into the script. So for the later part of the film, my character has his leg wrapped up, and that's actually because my leg was actually injured.
I did catch that. I was like, oh, yes. Okay, now just put two and two together with your face into the picture. I often don't see the producers when I'm talking to you guys, and so I just, when you said that, I was like, oh, okay, he's the one that had the nice trailer scene.
Yeah, what a great scene.
Oh, that was a great scene, and it really threw me off. Because, again, his character, you know, the four dominant characters, and where he was headed and the way he was, and, you know, again, I don't know how to talk about something without giving too much away, but you were expecting certain things out of his character, or at least I was, as a leader, as, you know, the one with some kahunas. I had some expectations, and then I was like, okay, let's shift those expectations now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's a classic example of the film kind of turning genre, you know, on its head a little bit, because as you're right, you're expecting certain things from his character, and then we kind of flip it. And for those of you who haven't seen the film yet, you'll have to watch it to know what we're talking about. But that moment is one of the strongest reactions we get out of the entire film.
Yeah, I would have to agree. That one, the other main male character, his partner that was on the first four, mm-hmm. his reaction, his flip in his character was my second biggest reaction, probably.
yeah.
So, you know, but that's great. To me, that's what a good horror film is about. It's like you're in suspense. What can you expect? Oh, it just took a change, and that's what keeps, I think, the viewers engaged, and so it engaged me the whole time. Talking about the cast, what did this crew and cast, I enjoyed all of them, what did they bring to the movie for you guys? How did you select some of them, and what were some of the things that they brought to this film? I enjoyed all of them, so they were great.
Yeah, We did, you know, traditional casting on the film and found a lot of the roles that way. James had also worked with some of the cast on a TV pilot that he had directed. So some of the people came from that. And then a good number of the cast was from our first movie, Hard Sun, Robin Buck, who plays Maggie in the film, was the lead of Hard Sun. So she was in it. Tanner Carey was in Hard Sun. J. Michael Briggs, who plays Harold in Run Like Hell, was in Hard Sun. Ben Beckley was in Hard Sun. So we used a lot of those same actors as well.
I really enjoyed them. They all brought great little personalities to each character. The twist with and was this in the original script with the wedding ring, finding the wedding ring? Was that part of the original storyline, or did that kind of evolve into it?
I don't remember exactly. Do you remember, James? What? So long ago.
Just to say, that was another. Now that to me, it's a horror flick, but I felt like there was some really strong emotions right around that scene, and I thought that it came out really well. Did we lose him?
Is he there? I think we might have lost him. He just texted me. Hang on.
Oh, we did. Hey.
Hey, there you go. You guys couldn't hear me. I was having a whole conversation with myself.
And did you enjoy that?
I did, yeah.
I was like, it's strange, he's not talking about this. You want to talk about the ring?
Sure, yeah. So that's another example of, you know, to be honest, of, you know, constraints, you know, kind of morphing story a little bit. Originally, the way it was written, there he goes into the room and her body is actually on the table, and it's all cut open and there's limbs laying around, and so he walks in and he finds her, and as the audience you immediately know that's her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just couldn't do that, shoot that, for time and money reasons. And so we just thought, like, okay, how can we still convey to the audience that this is, you know, his wife, and at the same time make it shootable? And so we shot these. We shot him looking at the ring and pulling it off the severed fingers, and, you know, his whole montage of dealing with her death. And it really wasn't even until we got into post sound where it all clicked together. Our sound engineer, our Sean Hines, had an idea. He was like, what if we hear, her just talking to him, and it's kind of like his thoughts going through his head. And we started, we brought in Tammy, we did some ADR, and he started playing with it and mixing the sounds to make it sound a little, you know, airy and off in the distance. And once we watched it back, we were like, oh my gosh, that's it. That's what is going to help, you know, this scene. So yeah, that was another just example of, you know, constraints kind of shifting the story and having to be adaptable as a filmmaker on set. So.
Well, it was definitely a moment when I was like, oh, again, I didn't expect kind of that softness, but also the emotion behind it. It was really good. I felt it. I was like, aww.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite parts. My two favorite moments of score in the movie are when Canyon has a realization, the Luke character has his realization, and the same thing with Dan in this scene with the wedding ring, his realization, is that the score is just so well done in those moments. It just helps that, you know, sell the scenes and really brings you in as a you know, viewer into these characters' emotions and inside their head.
Yeah,
I would agree.
And I think during the script process too, like a lot of the work we did after that first draft was really, you know, making these characters real and giving those real moments, because, you know, the other film we did was your, you know, indie drama, but then we were turning around and doing this, you know, horror film. So it's bringing those elements in and having those soft, still moments like when he finds the ring and, you know, when Luke has his moment and stuff like that. But I think, you know, people in general, I feel like, kind of expect a certain thing from horror films. And some horror films you find that, but a lot of them you don't. They're just very typical one-dimensional characters. And I think if you, you know, make them real and create those moments, then the audience becomes more invested in them. And then, you know, once the audience is invested in your characters, then it's a really fun ride.
I would agree. Did you intentionally, you have some, you left, obviously there's several things that are open-ended with this movie. One is the town's still there. And, yeah. And two, you never really concluded or alluded to, and I'm sure you left this open on purpose, or did you, is their meals. The family was feeding them. We never came up that there was cannibalism. Ah, Michelle. But you did a couple of flashes that kind of felt that way, but it was never really spoken out loud. On purpose? Yeah.
Yeah, it was on purpose. We didn't want to make it all about that aspect of the movie. We didn't want it to just be this movie's about, you know, crazy hillbilly cannibals. However, we did want to give those nods to just be like, this is the reasoning of the town existing. you know, and that's why we do that shot where, you know, they are staying with Harold and Nancy, and they wake up in the morning and they're having breakfast, but we cut to that shot of the pan frying the meat. You know, we do little subtle things like that just to keep that, you know, that kind of idea perpetuating. But yeah, it wasn't something that we wanted to, like, shove into people's face, but just kind of lightly hint at throughout the film.
No, I think James covered it. Yeah, it was never a cannibal movie. But yeah,
right.
that was their motive. I think in certain versions of the script there was more or less depending. but yeah, this is what we went with, and I'm sure if, you know, studio greenlights a sequel or something, there will be much more carnage and body part eating.
Well, mm-hmm. What I felt as a viewer is that you left it open enough that the whole movie, that's kind of in the back of your mind when you see different scenes and what they're doing, like the whole building with that separate grinder thing. there's just different things in your head that, you know, that I guess because that was kind of early on in the movie that kind of, you know, it, you never came back around to it completely, but that's okay. But it was back in, it's a great thing about horror. You left it in the head of the viewer to really go crazy. So,
yeah, I think the one line that really seals it is between Jason Lewis and Dave Maddox, where Jason's like, "Oh, what did you eat?" And he says, "Yeah, remember that brunette last week? Yeah, it's all her." I think at that point, if you don't get what's going on, you know,
Yeah. That is true. That is true. So is there anything else you want to share about the movie, about the film to the listeners? Because what also I'd like to do is make sure you tell the listeners where they can pick it up or download it or anything like that. Again, also congratulations about last night. I know you guys had a premiere. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're
yeah.
very welcome. And so anything else you want to share and make sure also the listeners know how to get the movie when it's released to the public?
Yeah, so Run Like Hell will be available on VOD on September 23rd. So you'll be able to go to, you know, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Xbox, PlayStation Network, most cable platforms as well, and DirecTV. The DVD will not be coming out until, I think, the beginning of next year. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, VOD drops September 23rd. And we will be having screenings throughout the country, and you can check those out or request a screening in your town at runlikehellthemovie.com.
Yeah, and also follow the film on Twitter at RLHmovie.
And the same at Facebook.com/RLHmovie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's Facebook and Twitter and then also the website.
Yep.
Yeah, and then you can find our company on Twitter as well at @2 guys in the film, and then we're on Facebook as well, but all spelled out TWO guys in the film.
Do you have any other projects that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, we have the first movie that we shot, but the second one to come out, Hard Sun, will be coming out on VOD November 21st, and then it'll be coming out on DVD and Blu-ray December 16th. So just in time for Thanksgiving and Christmas if you're looking for stocking stuffers and stuff like that. And then we have a bunch of projects in development of varying genres, a bunch of features, and then a couple TV projects that James and I are working on as well. So hopefully next year, one or two of those will be coming out.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to covering a few more films that you guys have coming out.
We appreciate it.
Of course,
it's a great show.
Yeah.
Love being on it. Yeah.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard, like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming, and I'm loud.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Buffalo Wild Wings is proud to announce our new half-price Wing Tuesdays. Now, instead of getting a discount on individual wings, you get any size of traditional wings at half the price. Order a small, it's half the price. Two larges, half the price. Try all 21 sauces and seasonings for half of what it would cost you any other day of the week. We could call it twice as good Wing Tuesdays, but we don't. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Valid for a limited time. Prices and participations vary. Restrictions apply. See participating locations for details. Void where prohibited.